Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Welcome back. For another OG show live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Randall. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
This is Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
What's up, guys? You're listening to the final cast on Paddle and Fin Podcast. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
And there he is. The ever infamous Matt face to start off the show. I love it.
Yeah, I like to bring it out occasionally just to have it, since everyone in the wedding party from Justin's wedding is making fun of my face. So, you know, yeah,
that was a jerks. Funny picture though, because you're like serious, but you're about to laugh. It looks like
I don't think I was. I honestly just think I,
because you were like, put on,
yeah, I almost looked like I had to take a poop. That's what it looked like. And I probably did, because, I mean, Justin, I love you to death. It's a long wedding.
Yeah, so. That was a long wedding, but.
Yeah. But it's all, right. It's all good.
Dude, let's talk about our fishing adventure this weekend real quick, this past weekend.
It's more of an adventure for you. I just went out and got cold and had a 10-inch slap the side of my boat when I was trying to, like, I call it winter rules, so it counted. I mean, it counted. And you've even, like, you're the one who told me the winter rules. Like, if it's right next to the boat and comes off, it counted. The reason I had a Vision 110 on. Or no, I had a, not a Vision 110. And when it came off, I had that on. I had an Evergreen little jerk bait, which I'm never going to use those again because they suck. And I was afraid of getting stuck in my rogue strap I had off the front of the boat. And I was like, dude, I don't want to get this stuck. So when I flipped my rod around to pull it around, it came up, smacked the side of my boat, and then popped right off. I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, at least you got to fight something. That's the funnest part anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, especially for a 10-incher. Like, I would have got it off the hook and throw it back in anyway. So,
yeah. Well, it was cold, though, man. I mean, everybody else is sitting inside watching football and playing video games. Me, Matt, and Justin were out there on the river when it's 17 degrees or something. I don't know. I don't remember what it was. But it was a sunny day. And those sunny days in the wintertime, man, they fish get fired up. I think they're just sunbathing or what, but I ended up catching two and a really big carp.
Dude, that carp was huge. I thought you were stuck. Like, I come up beside you, I see your rod literally curled over on itself. I was like, dude, are you stuck? No, something's like, on it.
No, I thought I was stuck too. I started paddling over to it because I was going to get it unstuck, and my line just started slowly moving. I'm like, what is going on here? I foul hooked a carp in the back, so
it was a good sized carp.
Too. It was a huge carp.
It was massive.
But he wasn't moving. Like, he was just like glued to the bottom just because it was so cold, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm about to say. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about a carp. I mean, we saw a school of them. They were a lot smaller, obviously, but
and they weren't acting like it was cold. They were
they were just acting like any other day. So I don't know if the bigger carp get. I'm not a carp angler, so if we have any European listeners forgive my ignorance, but it feels like all you guys fish for are big carp and then a couple of you fish for like ginormous perch.
Yeah.
That's about it. So if it gets really cold, do carp like just stop moving if they're big? Let us know. I would like to know that. And I'm too lazy to do a Google search to figure it out in about 8.5 seconds. So let us know. And it would also make me happy if we have some European listeners. That'd be cool. I doubt we do, but it'd be sick.
But we caught fish on the jerk bait. I caught a couple nice ones, a 19 and a half and a 17. Long pauses on the jerk bait, like 15 plus seconds, just sitting there suspended. Matt broke one of his brand new Mega Bass Vision 110s. So that's always good.
Dude, it's so stupid too. So I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be sneaky. It's a brand new Matt White Vision 110. There was a little like super shallow spot of the river with ice, and where we were catching all the fish was kind of in the, well, not where I caught my fish, but they were catching their fish was this right where the sun was baking on it. So I was like, I'm going to throw this jerk bait up on the ice and then move it off of the ice. So it kind of plops in, maybe something sitting right there, ambushing, whatever. So I did that. It got stuck on ice, of course. So I break a whole big thing of ice off and it finally comes free and I'm sitting there jerking it. I was like, well, this is jerking really weird. It's like not diving at all. It's only going down like 3 inches. It's like, well, whatever. Maybe it's just something. So I brought it back in. I paid attention to the ice on my guides and my line, not the bait. Kept throwing it. I threw that thing for another like 10 minutes. And I kept looking. I was like, man, it's not going. Why is it not going down? And then I pull it up. We're moving to a spot. And I'm looking. I was like, well, this is stupid. I guess when I hit that ice, I broke the bill clean off. Mm. Like just snapped it off.
That stinks.
And that sucked. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can mess. I'm going to email Megabass and see if they'll send me another one.
Yeah, you should. So
worst case they're going to say is no. So
It is what it is. But overall, fun trip. We were only out there for a few hours, and then we got cold. So
I didn't get cold. I'll be straight up honest with you. My neck was bothering me because I didn't have anything to stop the gasket. But I tell you what, merino wool socks, one pair. A sweatshirt and some sweatpants. And I had some long johns on too. Yeah. But that and the dry suit felt great. My hands got really cold. Not really cold, but cold. And then my face got cold. But that was literally about it. I felt great.
That's nice. But go back and listen to our old cold water episodes. If you haven't listened to those, there's some info talking about a little bit more of that. We won't get into that, but we're just gonna jump into the show now, man. We got Brian Bolander from Labina Lures on the show to talk about the Rico, the Suave, and the Rio Rico. So Brian, on the show.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. Did I pronounce your name right? Last name?
Yeah, Bolander. Just how it sounds. Yeah, you got it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was about to say you don't happen to have, I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's a small world. You don't happen to have a nephew, a cousin, or anybody who's in the Marine Corps, do you?
Could, but not. Okay. Not,
I was about to say, he'd be my age. It was a guy that I was in the Marine Corps with, and I met him. I went to my second unit, and he was like, oh, my name's, and we just call each other last name. He's like, oh, it's Bolander. I'm like, oh, what's up, man? And he ended up being like my fishing buddy for 2.5 years in the Marine.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I was like, when I saw your name, I was like, I'm going to ask him when the show starts. Cause this would be dope. Cause then I'm just going to text him right now and be like, hey man, I'm cooking to Brian. But it wasn't meant to be. So it's okay.
Well, it's possible we're related somewhere down the line, but not that I'm aware of.
If you believe me, I'm sure I'm related to every Saunders, Stabowers, and every, because there's 47,000 variations of my name, so I'm sure I've got 4,000 cousins I don't even know about.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
Well, Brian, you want to start off the show by letting the listeners know a little bit about you, like what you do, where you're from, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, we're based out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was listening to you guys talk about the cold weather, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I would die. I would die. it drops below 60 degrees, and we just we freeze up. So
yeah,
but I tell you, I'm the same way. From being in North Carolina, like the only cold we got was for like a week and a half or 2 weeks in December. It hit 40, unless we got a snowstorm or something like everyone does now. It's weird, but it hit 40. And then in January 1st, it was 75 degrees again. And then I came home, and you can ask Brad, even in like spring, it's 65 or 60. I'm sitting out there with a sweatshirt on, long pants, merino wool socks. I'm just freezing. He's like, dude, it feels really good. I was like, shut up. It's freezing.
I'm a Yankee, man.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. Not getting the cold weather. And actually, I grew up in Idaho. So, you know, I'm used to that. Younger years, I was used to the cold, but not anymore. I've been in Arizona too long.
Yeah. So did Labina Lures bring you to Arizona then?
No, actually, I purchased the company from the original founder of the company probably about 4 years ago. We're coming up on 4 years now that I've owned it. And the lady that started it and founded it was a lady by the name of Jennifer Duff. She was from Mesa, Arizona. So the company has actually always been in Arizona. But they founded it in 91. Mm-hmm. Between her, Rick Klun was instrumental in it. Norio Tanabe was the one that kind of helped go back and forth with stuff. And she just got to the point where she was ready to retire and move on to some other stuff. Mm. And it worked out for me because I was looking for something. And we were going back to my Idaho days. I was a fly fishing guy. So love the top water, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was just a perfect fit. I'm like, oh man, I can, you know, this just move right into this and go with it. But that's kind of the quick version of what happened on it. But
that's interesting. Like, so from the beginning of Labina Lures to the time you owned it, like, were you guys offering the same like top water plugs you're offering now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been the same from the very beginning. Nothing's changed. We're with the same, you know, our facility over in Japan is the same. Some of the guys that originally started on it are still there, you know, they're still helping do stuff. And so we're kind of proud of that. The fact, and to be honest, especially with the climate of the economy nowadays, we haven't raised our price that whole time. We've been able to maintain all the way through.
That's nice.
Today, we've never raised our price one time, so we're doing what we can to keep that going. But yeah, you know, we'll see how that goes down as things kind of keep getting crazy. But we'll see.
Yeah, I know a lot of people when I talk about the Rico, a lot of people are like sticker shocked by it, $25. But I'm like, it's a top water bait. You're not gonna lose it like you do other baits, like a jackhammer or something.
No. Yeah.
So, yep. I can justify spending much money for a bait like that.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like with me, when I look at baits, again, you can ask Brad, you can look at my Instagram, you can talk to anybody I fish with. I've got swim baits that are a couple $100 and all that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I fish them. But when somebody, I've said the same thing, it's like, dude, the Rico, it's like one of the best poppers I've ever thrown. You should really get one, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, it's $25. I was like, dude, you just bought 6 jackhammers. You're gonna lose all 6 of them. I fished with you. You've lost 6 in a day. Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna lose this unless you're an idiot.
Which, yeah, exactly.
I've donated a Rico to the Great Miami River because I miscast and it went up into a tree.
Oh,
so
boy.
You know that sucked. But that was because I was an idiot. Like, if you fish it, like, it's supposed to be fish. It's not. You're not just gonna lose it. So it's easy to justify.
You could break it off on a fish or something. You know, or but the likelihood isn't very high.
Right.
And you know, I mean, people go out and how many packs of Senkos? I mean, that's just 3 packs of Senkos anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you burn through those in a day too. So
yeah, that's true.
It's all relative, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 100%.
So speaking about the Rico, I get this question a lot too. Like, what makes it so different from like the cheaper versions of poppers? Like, what makes the Rico stand out more?
Well, it's in the design, actually. The cup is one of the big parts of it. You know, when they were first designing this, Rick Klun was using it to fish super fast with, and it's designed to be able to fish it fast so that, and it doesn't blow out of the water. You know, sometimes when you're working those other ones really fast, they just kind of roll over, they pop out, they just kind of fling all over the place. But these, you can actually work them really, really fast, and they're going to stay in that water where they need to be. We're using quality components on it. You know, Gamagatsu hooks, everything is just, premium that we can, the most premium stuff that you can get. And then the other part is it's our finishes on it. We still, and I think we may be the only ones that are still doing this, but we have a foil finish on these. And those are all hand laid. Everything is hand done on these things. So, it just gives a little bit more different texture to it. Makes it a little bit more realistic in that regard. And then the sound chambers too. You don't have to move these baits at all. Like even if there's just a tiny, tiny riffle on the water, if you listen closely, you can hear it just rattling. You don't have to impart anything on it. Sometimes that's the best way to get bit, is just throwing it out there and waiting for a little bit, and they'll come up and smash it because it's still making sound. It's still imparting that noise. So it's just a combination of all that stuff that works to make it what it is.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed is the sound. So, like, for example, again, I think I've talked to Brad about this. There's a guy I talk to about it at work all the time. He fishes for walleye pretty regularly, and I'm sure you're familiar with the brand Smithwick. They've been making jerk baits that look like they are from 1960 and they haven't changed at all. As a mega bass fan, and as you know, these are, you know, they have a lot of Japanese inspiration into them. As a mega bass fan, mega bass jerk baits just look amazing.
Yes.
And I can't make myself buy a Smithwick or use it, but I can tell you the reason why Smithwicks are still so popular is because of their sound. There's almost no jerk bait on the market that sounds like a Smithwick. It's ridiculously.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Super precise, I would suppose. But the same thing when I got the Rico, I had it was either a KVD popper, a Strike King popper. It was something else. I can't remember. Or it was actually, no, it wasn't. It was a Mega Bass popper. And I was hitting the Mega Bass popper and I was hitting the Rico. And I was like, man, this Rico just sounds better. It's a little bit more tingy. And it just sounds better. And then I threw it out there one day and I was looking at my phone because it was top water and it was slow. They were hitting it, but slow. I threw it out there and I got it back to the boat. Just let it sit in the water. And there was little ripples on the water. And I can hear it. Ting, ting. I could just hear it. And I was like, I'm not even doing anything. And I can hear it. And it's like, you know, so that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was designed that way. So it's amazing just not having to do anything to it. And it'll still impart, you know, that sound. And
Are those tungsten balls in there, or are they stainless or what?
They're not tungsten. It's actually a copper. It's a copper ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar to like a BB maybe.
Yeah, it looks very similar to it. I don't know if you've seen some of the clear baits.
Yeah,
I brought a few of them here with me, but I don't know if you can see this. Let me see if I can see it. I'll show you here.
There we go. This one right here. Yeah.
So there you go. So you can kind of see what they look like.
Oh, here, I can go full screen on you real quick.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So it's just that sound on it. It's just very different, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. And I like how all the BBs are different sizes.
Yep.
So you can get a lot more contact instead of just two BBs hitting each other. The smaller ones will go all over the place. And copper, I can imagine can be a cost saver compared to tungsten, but you're still getting that tingy sound from them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, back when we started doing this, tungsten wasn't really being used,
right?
To my knowledge, anyway. So, that was something that was developed a little later.
Is that something you guys might look into for the future? Because I know like the weight transfer stuff in baits is pretty popular with tungsten right now.
Yeah. We're looking into it a little bit. As we bring more products out, then yeah, that's definitely an option that we're going to look into more. So, as far as these go, you know, there's no reason to change what we've already done. Mm-hmm. You'd have so many people mad.
That's true. I mean, once you have something great and you get away from it, people start to get mad and like, what the heck?
You know, sometimes even like a color, you know, that we've had that we discontinued because it wasn't selling great. All of a sudden you discontinue that color and all of a sudden that's the greatest color there ever was. And you start hearing from people like, what are you thinking? You know,
you see that a lot with all types of baits. It's some stupid color that. Yeah. And I have some colors like that I still buy, like Berkeley flatworms on eBay for $12 a pack. Because it's a color that I like that no one else enjoyed. But it's always, because I can say this because I'm usually one of those people. It's always the people who don't like, the only people that buy is a very small number. And they're always the loudest voice. When Berkeley discontinued that flatworm, I was everywhere. Like, I Karened out. I emailed Berkeley. It's like, this is stupid. You know, I was like, can I just buy a box of it now? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I never emailed me back, though. It is what it is. But
yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah.
So what is your guys' most popular color then? Do you guys have that type of?
We do. By far, bone seems to be the one that everybody gravitates towards, you know, for a good reason, too. The Cisco color is actually a popular color as well. I don't know if you can pull that up there. It's the 523. It goes by number towards the top there. There
it is. One down.
That 523 color is really good color. That's actually Rick Klun's favorite color right there. Trying to think what the other. Black's always been good. The Black Beauty is a good color.
Oh, man.
The 519, 515, both of those, the Lightning Shad and the Tennessee Shad. Absolute. There's so many. We've got 35 colors that we use. And so there's, you know, there's a color that for everybody's flavor, you know?
Right. This is the one that always stuck out to me, Volt. I just think that looks so cool.
Yeah.
In fact, I've ever seen an all black one with like a chartreuse tail. Like, I don't think there's been another popper like that.
There's that one. Yeah, the Volt.
Yeah, I was about to say Volt's usually my go-tos. I'm one of those guys who we're playing tag. Yeah. No, I'm one of those guys who when it comes to topwater, I wish I could pick the brain of like a pro or somebody and be like, hey, why do you use Tennessee Shad instead of bone or instead of Black Beauty or instead of Volt? Because I'm a black and a white guy. Like, it works. I don't need other colors. But then you have guys like, you know, like you said, Klun loves the, what was it, 515?
The Cisco. The
Cisco 523. He loves Cisco. And then I know a lot of pros have come out and be like, this and bluegill is the best color they make. Or in the, you know, I can understand with moving baits and stuff, having colors like Sexy Shad's like the best color ever invented. But when it comes to topwater, I just want to pick their brains because I'm not going to say they're wrong because they've won like lots of money. But I just want to have, I'm one of those guys like, you need to explain it to me so I know you're not full of it. But I love how they look. Like, I will say the foil wraps you guys do are they're the best in the top water game. Right up there with premium baits that go for a lot more. So
and the kind of the unique thing about those foil finishes is that as you use them, it starts wearing and paint can come off of it. And it just starts getting more tattered looking, you know? And some guys will be like, oh man, the bait it's damaged. It's defective. It's, you know, this or that, but those are the baits that actually get hit more. I mean, just to the point where the worse it looks, the better they catch fish.
Yeah. And I can attest to that too, because I've had the bone for going on almost 2 years now. And I've caught so many fish on that thing, and it is beat up. I love it.
Yep. More beat up they are, the better.
And it's like that with like soft plastics too. I mean, you get like a Z-Man or a Nico or something. It's just like stretch it out, you know, a little bit more buoyant.
I was about to say that's in the swim bait world. If your swim bait looks beat up, that's one of your prized possessions. Like I have a swim bait I don't even throw anymore, and it looks like it was like hit with a weed whacker. And I love that thing because I was like, I've caught so many fish on that. It's insane. And it just, but the last time I did throw it was last year. I took it out of the box for a ceremonious last throw and I got hit all day on it. Just got smashed. And I was like, they like it more because it looks all beat up and it looks like it's dead and they love it.
True
story.
So I thought this was a cool story because I have a buddy that's in Indiana. He throws the Rio Rico a lot. He took a picture of his Rio Rico after he had like a 30 fish day or whatever and tagged you guys in it. Well, a couple days later, he posts another picture of a brand new Rico that you guys sent him. And I was like, I just thought that was cool, man.
Yeah, you know, when we see stuff like that, you know, we'll reach out to people. I mean, hey, why not throw a Rico out their way, you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. After, that says a lot about
after a day like that, you know. We like to do stuff like that.
Says a lot about you guys. Like, it makes me want to purchase more of your guys' base because of it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you're in tune to the biggest thing. I've said it on the show before, whenever we have either smaller companies or bigger companies that listen to the fan base and or the consumer and follow their consumers like on social media and they're interacting with it, it shows like I want to buy more stuff from that company because it shows the company cares about the consumers and interacts.
Yeah.
And it just, it makes it a better experience. Especially guys like before I got on the podcast and I didn't get to talk to all these great companies. Every time I would post something, somebody would like, if most of the time, like Plano, for example, I remember the first time Plano commented on one of my posts, I was like, oh dude, Plano commented on my post. And I went out and bought a box the next day. And they're one of them that routinely I've seen you guys will comment or like posts or share posts. Like companies that do that is it's a nice thing because you don't see it a whole lot anymore, especially with your big companies. They get all this free publicity and never even interact with the people who are giving it to them. So
yeah, that's definitely something we've been trying to focus on a lot is the social media aspect of it, you know, making sure that we are connected, like you said, to the people that are using our products. So I
want to go back and talk about the foil wraps a little bit more. Like, can you go a little bit more into detail, like what that is and like how it gets installed, I guess? I can't really.
I wish that I was looking for one out in the warehouse and I couldn't find it, but I had a blank that had the foil on it without the paint so that you could see what I was talking about. And I couldn't find it and I'm not sure where it went, but essentially it's they stamp the foil. So it's just like tinfoil and it stamps it with the pattern on it. And then they cut it out to fit around the bait and they apply it and glue it down. So it's a very hands-on intensive thing that they do. And then of course the finish gets applied over that, or the paint gets applied over top of that. So,
and that's even for like the solid colored ones?
Nope,
that you guys tell?
Not the solid, like, you know, this is here. I'll see if you can see the difference here.
Yep. I'll put you full screen.
So this is the albino. You can see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. If I hold that, see how it's got you can see the foil stamping on there, right? And then if you take the other one, like this bolt, it's just solid.
Okay.
So that does not have the foil finish on it. There's about, I don't know, maybe 10 of our colors that have this foil finish on them.
Okay.
And these were some of the more these were the earlier ones, the first colors that had the foil finish on them.
Are you saying the first colors from like the early 90s?
Yeah, from way back, you know, and they were starting to develop the colors. Right. So if you look at the top on our website there, 515, like the first five or six colors are all foil finished ones.
Oh, Lightning okay.
Tennessee Shad Absolute, Fry, CL Shad is a foil finish. Cisco as a foil finish.
Oh, okay, I got and you. Then, yeah, you can tell.
You can kind of see, and then, you know, obviously bone isn't. Some of the clear stuff is not.
Right.
There's not a lot of companies. In fact, we probably are the only ones still doing a foil finish. Most of them have gone to stamping it into the body of the bait and then just applying the paint over it, which is more durable, but I don't think that you can't get that same tattered look over time.
Yeah, with that, it just looks like if you have a body or a blank that has like the design in it, when you paint over it and it starts wearing away and chipping away, it goes from looking like tattered and cool to looking like you painted it yourself and the paint didn't do well.
Yeah.
And now it looks like crap. It's a whole different, like,
it's a different feel. It's very different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've said it before, you know, if you don't like what you're throwing, you're not going to have any confidence in throwing it. You're going to end up not throwing it.
Yeah.
So in that case, what's cool about the foil finishes and the baits is there's an intimacy factor that goes in when you make your baits to where, you know, there's a guy who is hand placing these foils on there before it goes to the final painting process.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, because you're getting, you know, a super high quality baits, but they have that hand made feel to them, which is awesome, because again, you don't find that very often in companies anymore either. So
yep.
No, that's cool. I don't think we hit the feathers yet. Is there a certain like type of material you guys use for that?
No, not particular, just your normal feathers that most of the companies use.
Okay,
those are all hand done too. We've actually had a lady out of Wisconsin that was doing them for us. So those are all, everything about cool. We try to use, is small the right word? Intimate, you know, it's not like a mass produced thing. You know, it's all hands on, very labor intensive for what we do. And it all
is that the same for the paint as well? Like are they all hand painted?
Everything's hand painted.
That's awesome. I didn't know they were. I knew the foil was, you know, by hand, and then you just said the feathers were by hand. Now you're saying they're all hand painted. I mean, this bait is it's a one off every time, because I'm sure every bait won't look identical.
Just a little slightly different. Yeah. We do have one. The 589 down towards the bottom that we've played around with a little bit, that real deal. So that one's a little bit different. That's got the transfer on it. So that one's not, it still has the foil finish. It just doesn't have the hand painted on it. So,
okay.
Just a color that we're trying, because that's a little bit more like the real skin looking finish on it, which those are impossible to do. You know, that would be way too time intensive for something like that.
That thing looks like an actual smallmouth.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You should, there's an idea for you for a one-off, is you just, whoever does your painting, get somebody who can paint really well and do like 10 hand painted real deals.
Yeah, there you go.
so this is cool. Like, you guys offer just the feathers. Can you order like a bait and then put a different, like not have it, you know what I mean, like pre-assembled?
You know, we could do that on a small scale if guys are wanting. Most of the time they would just order, we sell them in two packs. So they would just order a feather and then they would just change it out.
Oh, okay.
When they get it. Yeah.
So basically you're getting one with the bait and then you'd get an extra one.
Then you'd get, like, if you wanted to, you know, I know some guys change out for like the ghost bluegill, they'll put the chartreuse feather on it or something like that. You know, they'll swap it out.
Interesting.
Yeah, and not all of our vendors carry the feathered hooks. Quite a few do, but not all of them. So.
And then I don't think we talked about the little specs here. The Ricoh's 2 3/8 quarter ounce with size 6 hooks. The Rio Ricoh's half inch bigger.
Yep.
And an eighth heavier, it looks like. Or 3/16 heavier.
Yep.
And four size 4 hooks. So
yeah. So that Rio Rico obviously is a little bit easier to throw. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some guys get a little bit frustrated with throwing the smaller size, the Rico. You know, if you don't have the right setup, it can get frustrating because it is a lighter bait, but man, is it a deadly, deadly size.
Yeah.
But for, you know, just for your standard, want to pick up any rod, throw it, that Rio Rico is pretty forgivable in that regard.
Yeah, I've never tried the Rio Rico. I've always been partial to the small one for the reason mm-hmm. that you said. It just seems like it's more deadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the absolute opposite. I've got nothing but the Rios. and I've wanted the Rico. Like, I have the gear to throw super light stuff.
Yeah.
And the joy of MGL reels is they'll throw anything you really put on there, so it doesn't really matter. But I got the Rio just because I wanted to bomb it. So I wanted that extra 3/16 so I can just put on a bait casting reel and send it across the waterway to wherever I want so I don't have to go over and blow up the spot. But yeah. I've seen Brad cast the Rico and it casts just as well. So, I mean, it's I was mistaken. I should have just got the smaller one because I will say on days he will get better bites than I will on the Rio just because and it's where we're fishing in the river. I mean, smaller stuff tends to get bit a little bit better.
Sure. But, well, sometimes they just want it smaller, you know. I mean, if a lot of times when I'm throwing the Rio Rico and I'm not getting bit, you downsize and that's the ticket. And you know, and sometimes it and sometimes they want the bigger one and they won't touch the smaller one. It just
as
bass fishing, right?
Yeah. As Dan Perry said on Bass Fishing for Noobs segment, it's the smaller finesse baits, they're the Doritos. Yeah. The little snack sized Doritos for fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So sometimes you want that snack, sometimes you want the 6-ounce steak. So it just depends.
Yep.
That's funny.
Well, oh man.
I think we hit these two pretty good. Go ahead, Matt.
No, we covered. I was gonna ask questions about the cup, but you covered that like right off the get go. So that took one of the big questions I had out, and then we've talked about everything else. I'm super happy to know these are essentially handmade baits, 100% from start to finish. They're handmade, which is awesome. I love that.
So the next product here we're going to talk about is the Rico Suave. I haven't thrown one yet. I am highly addicted to walking baits now, and that's like a recent thing. Oh man. So you want to talk a little bit about the Rico Suave? Like, is that a newer product for you guys, or has that been around for a while?
No, the Suave's been around for a while. I'm not 100% sure when it was introduced into the company, but it's probably been around, you know, 15 years or so. And the Suave, I would say it's a finesse walk the bait.
Mm-hmm.
It is an underrated bait. Not a lot of guys throw it. But the ones that do, it's really deadly. It's just, there's something about it that, you're able to walk it and the width of the walk that you can get on it. If you're working it right. I mean, it'll just glide. It'll just shoot and just glide and then just glide. So you can really walk it in a wide pattern or a really tight pattern. A lot of guys have compared it to the old gunfish, Lucky Craft gunfish. So it's kind of similar in that respect. But yeah, it's a great bait. It's a really good.
If they're comparing it to the gunfish, it's a good bait because I have a couple gunfish, old ones, and those things are amazing. I need to get one. I haven't got
me
one.
Me too.
Yet, and I need one.
Like I said, I got addicted to the walking bait like kind of late this season. Threw the Spook for most of the summer, but then, you know, I went up and I got me an Evergreen and tried that out and I loved it. And then I found out, like, a big supporter of you guys, Ryan Dahl, he's local to us.
Yeah, he loves the Suave. Ryan has been killing it with the Suave. Yeah.
Yep. So that kind of makes me want to use it because every time I see him catch something on a Rico, I'm like, all right, I'm getting one.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's good. He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, he's a local hammer.
So it looks like there's a cup on the front of this thing too, is that right?
Yeah, slight cup. It's nothing that really, I don't think that it's what makes the Suave what it is. But it you know, it works.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question. I know on the Ricos, the Rio Rico and the Rico, you said you're using Gamagatsu hooks. Is there a reason why you use the owners on the Suave and not Gamagatsu on that? I'm just curious.
Because the owner hook was a little bit stouter for the size four that we use. We just felt like when they're hammering it on that, it's, you're wanting something that was a little bit stouter to get them. The size four on the Rio Ricos with the Gamagatsus, I mean, they're just, they're awesome hooks, super, super sharp. But I think, for that bigger walking bait, it helps to have a stouter hook.
Yeah, I would. I'll be honest. I'm kind of a hook guy. Like, I've got this. You can't see it because Mando's in the way and then my reeler. But I have about a whole thing, and I've got six little drawers full of treble hooks. So I switch out most everything I buy from the store 90% of the time. Yeah. I switch the hooks out because a lot of them are, like, don't get me wrong, VMC is a decent hook company for certain things, but they're mass produced. Any treble bait that says, oh, VMC hooks, I automatically like, oh, I'm changing you out. Like, this is just how it is. And I usually put in for anything size four, or like on for size four or smaller, I'll typically have some of the Gamagatsu tours or things along those lines, because you're right, they're super sharp. But anything bigger, I will go to an owner because they are a little bit stouter. If I have to put a bigger hook on something, I want, I'm putting it there for a reason, and it's on a larger bait, or it's on a something that I'm going to be throwing a hook set into, and they're not like just gonna mouth it and get hooked on themselves. I kind of already figured that's why you're doing it, but I just wanted to hear it, so it gives me a little validation on my knowledge.
You got a good eye, man. I didn't even like notice that.
Well, it's in the first line right there, but owner hooks have a slightly different bend where you put the split ring, just a little bit. It's not a whole lot, and believe me, if I didn't like switch out hundreds of baits a year for treble hooks, I wouldn't see it. But that's how, because I'm what we call a super lazy person in certain aspects of my life. And my wife made a bunch of labels, tons of labels. She loves labeling stuff. She's OCD like that. And I love it because it keeps me organized until about 2 weeks into it, and I no longer care about being organized. So of those six drawers of hooks, there's just mismatched brands, sizes, and everything. So I've learned to look at little tiny stuff, and I can look at the bend where the split ring goes and be like, that's an owner. That's a, you know, XYZ, that's a this, that's a Dachi. It's, you pick stuff up when you look impressive. At tiny stuff.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's taken me a while.
Matt's real big into all the gear. Like, I've never, I mean, there's people out there, but Matt, his basement looks like a tackle shop. Like, he has turnstiles of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of them, and it's got four rows, and it's full of stuff. I mean, I've got an XI3 in front of me. I've got like a motor. I've got six or four batteries back here sitting. I've got Plano boxes. Like, I've got boxes that aren't even unwrapped yet that are just waiting for stuff. Like if I could show you this, I wish I could. My camera, if I move my camera, it'll turn off and be stupid. But my whole table is just stuff.
Yeah.
You could definitely open up your own retail store down in your basement.
At least for like a month before I run out of stuff. But I probably could.
That's funny, man. Yeah.
Well, is there a reason why there isn't as many colors in the Rico Suave as there are Ricos?
You know, there used to be, but like I said, that it's not a bait that people are using a ton of. It kind of ebbs and flows with popularity. You know, one year that might just be going gangbusters, and then the next year it just doesn't. So we've kind of scaled back to the colors that we felt like worked, some of the more popular selling colors. And then when I purchased the company, that's kind of where it was at. So we haven't really gone as far as putting more colors out there. It's something that we're looking at, adding more colors to the lineup of this. But we'll see as we move forward, if that's what we do.
Well, we're just going to have to get some and catch some fish on them, Matt, and then tell everybody to go get one.
Yeah, we'll help you out in that aspect, because I already know from Ryan, it's because me and Brad, like he said earlier, he got an Evergreen Shower Blows. I've been using them for a while. I love the Shower Blows.
Yeah.
And talking to Ryan, he was like, yeah, Shower Blow is really cool, but have you used a Suave? I was like, no, I didn't even know that was a thing. And then he sent me a video of him walking. He's like, I'm barely doing anything.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that walks easier than anything I've used. And it looks better. And the walk is super wide.
It is. It is.
So, yeah, man, I'm going to get a couple and I'm going to smack them.
Perfect.
Well, I think we're winding down here. Unless, Matt, you got anything else to add? But I think we covered pretty much everything we wanted to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything to add. Brian, thanks for coming on. I love when we have, because I guess you would be classified as a small business, even though it's not like this is one of those where it's like, yeah, it's a small business, but it's not because of,
right,
A, how long you've been doing business, how popular the baits are. Yeah. But I love when, you know, stuff comes on because a lot of people, especially that in our community that we know all the guys in, they know the Rio. That's mostly mm-hmm. because we have a small tackle shop that carries them.
Yeah.
The only question I had, have you guys thought about expanding at all? Or is that, you know, I'm just curious.
Again. No, absolutely 100%. You know, because when I purchased the company, that's what the main ambition was, is, okay, Rico's been here for 30 years. It's had its mainstay. It's not going anywhere. Let's expand on it. So my envisionment for the company is to stay in the topwater niche mm-hmm. and just become the best topwater bait company that's out there. And so we are looking at adding things like, you know, frog, maybe a spook style bait, buzz baits, who knows, we're working on those designs. And like I said, there's one that I'm hoping by next summer we will be coming out with the one that we've been working on since COVID hit. Nice. And it's a little bit of a twist on the Rico. So I think the prototypes that we've been using on it, absolutely been murdering them.
Nice. Yeah. Well, if you need any testers,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a guy.
Definitely could probably get some out to you.
Oh, don't say that because I'll hold you to it. I will bug the living crap out of you now.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, Matt's that guy. I'm usually like reserved. I'm like, yeah, it's whatever.
Oh, no. The second, like, I'm not going to just go out of my way and be like, hey, man, thanks. You know, you said no. I'll be like, once the second you say, oh, yeah, we can do that, I'll be on you. Because I, like he already said, Brad's, he's not necessarily reserved in his gear, but he has gear. They work. I've watched this dude walk around Cabela's with two packs of Z-Man baits and then put them down. He's like, I don't really need these, when I had like $30 of stuff in 20 minutes and I had all $30 in the first 10 I was in there. So I'm a gear guy. So the second, especially something new, second I'm like, oh yeah, man,
I'll do it for you. I'll keep you guys informed. So as they come out, the only holdup that we've had so far is that we're waiting, because we don't do the molds that for the baits. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on the mold factory, and they've been backed out. We've been waiting for a year and a half already.
Well, I can imagine. Yeah, I can definitely imagine. I mean,
it's just kind of one of those things. It's a waiting game right now. And but the design's already finished, and we've got the prototypes that we've been working with and playing with for a year now. So we're excited about it.
Oh, I can imagine. A lot of people don't know everything that goes into the molds. Like, we could do a whole show on just molds, because it's a big, like, my brother-in-law works for a metal company. They do a bunch of stuff for a bunch of companies. And I was wanting to make my own plastic mold. And he was like, yeah, man, it'd be like, I don't know, $30,000.
Yep.
I was like, what, for a mold?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to design it in CAD. You have to give us a design. We have to make sure we can put it in CAD. And once it's in CAD, we have to make sure it works. And it's a whole like process.
It's a big process.
Yeah. So, and I can imagine with COVID, I mean, this year at ICAST, for example, a ton of companies were coming out with stuff. So I'm sure, and there's only so many mold factories. So I'm sure everyone's getting bombarded with making new molds. So I can completely see. And that makes total sense. So I'm super pumped for it to come on. I'm starting to ramble because I'm talking about stuff that has nothing to do with this. But hey, Brian, thank you for coming on and explaining all the lures to us. Me and Brad will both attest, we're big fans of them, and more people need to get their hands on the Rios for sure.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You want to shout out where people can follow you on social media and your website?
Yeah. The website's LobinaLures.com. We are on social media, Instagram, LobinaLures, and same for Facebook.
There you go. Guys, go give them a follow. That's it for our show, man. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week with something. I don't know what we have planned. So,
hey, quick pause before we get off. For all the listeners out there, we neglected to say it last week. December 9th, we are going on a break until January 10th. Everyone at the Paddle and Fin crew, we've all been working really hard this year. So the boss says we get a break, which I don't know how true that is, but I'm going to take it. Expect that. We have one more show coming before that break, and then we'll be back on January 10th. So December 9th through the 10th. And Nico Bates, I mentioned it two shows ago. Nico Bates, we're doing a Christmas giveaway with them. They're giving us three packs of Helgramites with brand new color in the Helgramite peppermint gum. I don't even have that yet, and one of you guys are going to get it, which really makes me mad because I want it. So I've already ordered some, but I didn't touch any of your guys's. But we're getting three packs of that and three packs of the Nico Leeches. And that'll be on the next show. We'll talk about the giveaway and kind of give the parameters of that, because it's going to be a fun one and you're going to have to listen to the whole show to get it. So
there you go. I can't wait. I'm not even in the loop for this. So
yeah, Brad was supposed to be in the loop, but I forgot to tell him. So
it's all good.
But yeah, man. That's it for us, guys. Thanks for listening. Brad, you can take us on out now.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.